A reading from Luke chapter 22. And when the hour came, Jesus reclined at table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup. And when he had given thanks, he said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, saying, This cup is poured out for you in the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to question one another, which of them it could be who was going to do this. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Thanks be to God. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. With the outbreak of the coronavirus in our midst, the tone of this sermon shifts a bit. Not in any kind of negative way, but it takes on a different application for all who hear. This sermon's tone takes on a certain hope, appreciation, and desire that it wouldn't have otherwise if we'd still all be gathering together as normal, as if we were still able to rally around the Eucharist in our normal fashion. The center of our worship revolves around the presence of God. Not that we coldly serve God in whatever he wants, because God does not come to be served by us. Rather, God comes to serve us. That is, to give us what we need to be in his presence. He serves us and gives us his holiness to us. Because without his service, and the Greek word for service derives from our word for liturgy, so without God's liturgy on us and to us, we're just a bunch of rotten sinners. We cannot stand in God's presence without punishment because he's holy, righteous, and pure. And we're unrighteous, impure, and sinful. So without God's presence serving us through his means, then we remain in our sin. Without God liturgying himself to us, that is, working his gifts to us, which flow from the cross, then our worship becomes something other than God working his gifts to us. But that's the extreme blessing of being able to gather in church. God's presence to heal sinners is singularly located in a meal, which he gives in his Lord's Supper each Sunday. God's presence is located in bread and wine. That is more than just bread and wine. In fact, it's his body and blood, physically there just as much as the saints are there who receive it, who receive God's liturgy, who receive God's service to them. As mentioned in Sunday's sermon with the feeding of the 5,000, God sustains his beloved children in the wilderness, the place of temptation, trial, and testing from the evil foe. He sustains them with food. He gave them manna in the wilderness. He multiplied the loaves for the 5,000. All this to point forward to the feeding we receive in his body and blood, which is poured out for sinners in the new covenant of Christ's blood. That's atonement language, which teaches that Christ pays the punishment for your sin in your place. It's like what the Old Testament sacrifices pointed toward. A sacrificial substitute who undeservedly pays the price for your sin. Showing that something or someone must die so that you may live. That's what you receive in the Lord's Supper. Christ's body and blood, which served as a substitute for you. He continues this liturgy, this work of substituting himself for you in the Lord's Supper. That's why his presence is essential in the Lord's Supper, because God works no other way. How can God give you what he is without being there? How can he give you what he is, that is, his holiness, blessedness, innocence, and righteousness, if he isn't physically there, giving it to you? So no, Christ's body and blood are not absent from the bread and wine, but are precisely found in it. Giving himself mass and elements, we can perceive with our senses, thus being comforted and assured that he is indeed here to save us. That's why it's especially heart-wrenching that churches must weigh the pros and cons of loving God or serving neighbor amid this COVID-19 crisis. Churches want to feed Jesus' sheep with his very own body and blood so that he continues his work of forgiving sinners. Thankfully, we have certainty, faith, and trust that God works in and through his word, which we cling to in these moments of not being able to gather in the Holy of Holies of the church building to receive the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world from this altar. Through this word, we certainly receive comfort. Christ's peaceful word of forgiveness and hear of his love. But there's still much to be desired, because Jesus' word and promises lead faith to desire his body and blood placed on our tongue and poured out into our mouths. Faith desires God's physical presence centrally located in a physical place through which he can work in us his holiness, righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, all of which we cannot go and get for ourselves. And through God's work on us, God is at peace with us, because God doesn't see us in our sin, but he sees us in his Son, in his righteousness. This is how our Lord feeds us. Not with manna in the morning and quail in the evening. Not with 5 barley loaves and the catch of the day. But with his Son's very body and blood. This isn't to say that our Lord has left us or stopped serving us if we're not able to come to the Lord's Supper. In this time of churches streaming services online to Facebook, YouTube, and reading scripture, God has certainly fed his children with his word. And we rejoice that our Lord has blessed us with such technology to do this. But we also mourn. We mourn that faith can't receive its food in the body and blood of Jesus. We mourn that we hunger for such food with great fervor. We mourn that we can't join our church families in corporate worship. We mourn that the hand doesn't know what the foot of Christ's church is doing. We mourn that God's work on us needs to be individualized for the time being. That is, until we are able to come together as a corporate body of Christ and receive our Lord's body and blood as a community once again. Though we mourn, we do not mourn as ones without hope. Our hope not only lies in the next time we can rally around our Lord's body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins, but in the resurrection of Jesus' flesh on Easter. He takes on man's flesh and gives in exchange his flesh, which doesn't taste eternal death. And our faith is assured that our flesh, though it may become diseased, sick, and die, will resurrect from the grave too. Then, God's work, God's liturgy on our lives will be complete, and we will join God in his presence forever. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.